Welcome back to Beyond the Stables, the podcast that sheds the light on the new generation of top-level show jumpers. Today, we're thrilled to introduce you Ava Vernon, a young British show jumper who is individual gold and team bronze medalist at the European Championships, and who is also making waves in the young rider classes for Team Great Britain. Our journey to meet Ava took us across Spain, driving from Oliva Nova down south to the vibrant Sunshine Tour. Despite not being from a traditional horse family, Ava has focused intensely on her pivotal young rider years. Her recent move from Great Britain to Holland marks a new chapter in her career, promising even more exciting achievements ahead. In today's episode, we will explore her unique journey, the challenges she's overcome, and the deep passion she holds for show jumping. Stay with us to discover Ava's warm and serene nature in this insightful conversation. Let's dive in!
They jump the last, they're clear, that's a great start. That is an absolutely superb round.
So today we find ourselves at the Sunshine Tour with Ava Vernon. So Ava rides for Team Great Britain. She's been to the Europeans. She's an individual gold medalist and team bronze, if I'm not mistaken. And she's been here with the horses for a couple of weeks. And yeah, so we're here to sit down, have a chat with her and get to know a bit into the life of Ava. So the first question we always like to start this podcast off with is, if your horses could speak, what do you think they would say about you?
Okay, that's an interesting way to start. So my horse that I've had for the longest, Jolly Fleur, which is also the horse I took to the European Championships, she's so bubbly and like such a big character. I think she would get on with anybody. So I think we do have quite a special connection, actually. We've been together for nearly 5 years now, so I hope she would only have good things to say and we understand each other very well.
So can you start by explaining your first interaction with horses? How did it all started?
Okay, so it's actually quite funny. My parents are not horsey at all. So I always had a love for ponies and horses and not show jumping in general, just the animals. So basically when I was 10 years old, my family got a little bit drunk around a dinner table on a rainy day. And I was like, oh, please, can I have a pony? So it went from there and we bought a tiny pony, not made for show jumping. I just was so happy to go hacking and stuff. And then, now we're here. I don't really know how that happened. But yeah.
And we're leading us very nicely to our next question, because if we're not mistaken, you followed the traditional youth circuit. So you started with ponies and you went on to children. Do you think it's beneficial for young riders to start this way and kind of follow this path leading up to the top?
Yeah, I mean, everybody actually does it a bit differently. So I did ponies, but not internationally. I had some really nice ponies, 2 6-year-olds and a JA, like we call it in England, so a top pony. And I definitely learned a lot, and they did also ride a bit like horses, so it was quite an easy transition for me. I didn't do children's, I went straight to juniors, and it wasn't really planned to do the youth circuit. I just ended up with a really good horse and I could jump some 140s, and that was enough to then get me onto a team, and that was a different world for me at the time, but it just came quite naturally. So I wouldn't say it's really important to plan it, but if it's all going to work out in your favour, then it's a really good thing to do, and it does step you into another world of the sport, because I've met so many people and experienced a lot of things that I definitely wouldn't have done without that youth circuit.
And is it difficult to be thrown into the kind of high level competition world at such a young age, or do you not realize kind of what's going on around you until you're much older later on?
Definitely, yeah, it's a bit strange. So I first came, for example, here to Sunshine Tour when I was 15, I think, and I just did like the amateur 110 classes on a horse that my trainer at the time found, and that was great fun, and it was fantastic to watch like the big Grand Prix, and it felt miles away to be anywhere near jumping those classes, but it's just amazing to watch and also to be able to come as an amateur rider and see all of that. So then from there it's more of a gradual journey, but always to watch top riders is great.
And you're not from a horse riding family, you said. Was it difficult for your parents to understand that you were not going to follow the traditional path and just do your life around horses and do it professionally?
Yes and no. They've always been really supportive. I'm so lucky actually to have such a supportive family, and my grandparents and my parents both love to come and watch. So me and my dad did the ponies together, and then he also loved the sport and watching. So when I decided I wanted to do it more and more, he was really happy for me to do that, and it was a family decision in the end.
Was there a specific moment where it all clicked and you realized that you wanted to do it for a living?
I was lucky to have some good horses when I was coming to the end of my exams at school. So even though I could have gone on to do more exams and things, I knew that in my heart I really wanted to follow and try and make this a career for myself. So I think it's important to decide that when you're young, because you can go back to school at any time, and when you have good opportunities in this sport, you have to grab it with both hands.
So were you able to finish high school, or did you leave early to dedicate yourself to horses full time?
I finished like high school traditionally, so in England that's until you're 16, you do your exams, and then I did go to a trial day, you're then meant to really stay on until you're 18. But I didn't. I went and did the horses, which I don't regret at all, actually.
Do you think it helped you to have those 2 or 3 extra years already in the professional world, get where you are today?
Yeah, I think so. Some of my friends did do their exams and they're still in a really great position. But I think by choice, if their parents didn't make them do it, they would much rather have done what I did and just gone straight into the horses. So, yeah.
And at school, did your friends and everything know that you were into the horse world, or did you always keep it a secret or maybe something on the side?
No, it's never on the side for me. I would talk about it all the time if I could. And I would often have days off school to go to shows, so everybody knew. But they were really good about it and everybody was interested, actually. I know not every person has the same experience, but no, I was pleased with that.
Oh yeah, that's really nice, because I feel like for us in the horse world, we know so much about it, but it's not a very popularized sport or mediatized sport compared to others. Do you think that this is something that should change?
I actually think it used to be more well advertised. So, for example, my grandparents would always watch the traditional riders, John Whittaker, Harvey Smith, David Broome on the TV, and now it's less televised than what it used to be. So, yeah, it would be great, actually, if they did promote it more again.
And would you say, like, as a rider, would you prefer kind of the more mediatized shows like the Prague Playoffs or the more traditional ones like Hickstead?
Okay, they're completely different. Yeah. I mean, everybody would think it's amazing to go and jump at a show like Prague and see the, you know, the top 10 and everything like that, and everything like that in the world. Hickstead is more for everybody. So actually, both shows are great in their own ways, but I'd say Prague is probably more special now than Hickstead, yeah.
So you're obviously British. How do you think that the British Federation differs to other riding cultures? Because we've spoken to Belgium riders, French, and we really realized how different each federation is, also in the way that they promote the sport, that the riders look at it as well.
Yeah, I think if you speak to anybody in British show jumping, they all have good and bad things to say about it because they know it so well. We don't have a traditional young horse system, so we have this thing called the newcomer and fox hunter, instead of the 6 and 7 year olds. So to European people, that's actually really confusing when they want to look and buy horses and things, because you think the horses didn't have the same experience when really they did, but it's not so obvious. Also, our system is not just for 6 and 7 year olds. You could ride a 10 year old horse in that class if it had low points. So again, it's a bit strange. Maybe they could make that more of an age class and people would understand it better. But in general, they do try and do the same thing, but it is different.
And regarding the younger generation of riders in the UK, we feel like the British Federation is doing something special, because if we look at the top, the very top, we can see Harry Charles, Jack Whittaker, and compared to other countries, we don't see that many young riders in Nation Cups or at Five Stars or anything.
Yeah, okay, actually, yeah, we do have a really good group of young riders at the five-star level now, like Jodie Hall McAteer, Harry Charles, Jack Whittaker, like you said, and then you have the older generation still at five-star, John Whittaker, Ben Mayer, Scott Brash, they're all really good examples to follow. So I do think we have some very strong riders from our country, so I guess our system can't be that bad, can it?
Do you feel like something has changed since Brexit to move around Europe and go and compete?
For sure. I'm actually now based in Holland because of it, so it just made the paperwork much, much harder, more expensive, and also shows are more accessible anyway in Europe, so you do find a lot more young riders move to Holland or Belgium or France or places like that, more central to the shows. Yeah, it's much easier being based abroad.
So in the end, most British riders are leaving the UK to go live elsewhere, and just to make it life around the horses much easier.
Yeah, at some stage in their life, I think most people do that. And then sometimes they go back to England afterwards when they've experienced what they want to see.
And going back to having so many British young riders at the top, do you think that this makes it more difficult and more competitive to reach the top? Or do you think that on the contrary, that the British equestrian is really trying to promote the youth and kind of diversify who represents them?
I do think they try and promote the youth, actually. So some Nations Cup teams last year, even for the 3-star, we didn't do so many, but they did always put a young team forward and give them the opportunity. So it's good for that sense.
How many horses are you traveling with? Because you moved from the UK to here, so you basically cross Europe. How does it work to move and travel with so many horses?
Okay, I didn't have a big team, so now I brought 3 horses to Sunshine Tour, but I have five actually here that we own, and then we try and sell a few and buy a few, so it's not a consistent number. Yeah, I'd say normally five, so it's not a really big operation, if you like.
How many days does it take you to come here?
4 days from England and 3 days from Holland.
That's a very long trip. Do you ride in the truck or do you come separately?
Normally I ride in the truck. Every time I've come here, I've come in the truck. It's nice. I mean, the airports here are not actually that close, so when you can go with the horses, and this year we brought 11 between two riders and two grooms travelled as well, so we still all played quite a big role in the journey and made sure the horses were looked after properly.
But I mean, 4 days of travel is very long for both you and the horses. Do you have, when you get here, like at least a few days of rest before you get into competition, or is it all kind of go, go, go as soon as you arrive?
Yeah, they do take it a bit easy, but it's good for them to stretch their legs. Like, they've already been cooped up for 4 days, so you do have to get them out and work them, whether it be depending on the horse. If they're fresh, you do more. If not, then you do less. But I think they have to get moving again straight away.
So you mentioned that you're also in the sales business a bit. Can you talk to us a bit more around how this works? So does it usually mean that you have like one top horse for yourself and then the other ones that you kind of bring here to show, to train, and then are they open to sell through word of mouth or through whoever comes up to you to talk to about them?
I haven't sold loads of horses. Like, it's definitely not a big operation yet, but I do want to try and learn how to do that more. Now I'm coming to the end of my young riding years, I think it's important to try and make a business of it. So yeah, they would be for sale if somebody came over and asked normally. Other times it's through word of mouth. It just depends how many people actually are interested in the horse as to how many people know about it.
And how easy would you say that horse sale has become, especially as a young rider? I guess it's more difficult to, I mean, you always want to try your best obviously, but it must be also more difficult to kind of, you know, get the best out of your horse, make sure an extra added stress and pressure to you.
Yeah, it's always in the back of your mind, but I don't think you can ever let that type of pressure get too much to you as a young rider, because at the end of the day, you're still learning. Nothing is ever going to be perfect. So you have to just concentrate on your own job and try and get the results you want. And if somebody approaches you in the meantime, then okay, you can think about it and talk about it, but I don't think it should be at the very front of your mind in your young rider years. But afterwards, things become more serious, and then yeah, it will definitely change in the next few years for me. But for now, I want to concentrate on my own results more than sales.
And do you think that the horse sales is the biggest, kind of like, let's say, the most lucrative part of the sport to make it work, or could you live off of prize money solely?
I think it's really difficult to live off of prize money. Very few people can do it. Definitely more from horse sales, because even if you came here with seven horses and sold one, like, it would pay your bill, and then the prize money you get, you maybe get to keep a bit more of it because of that. But yeah, really, you can never win enough. You have to sell.
Is it easy to break even when you come to tours like this?
For me, with three horses, okay, like, I only have one for the, two for the ranking classes, really, but there's so many people here being competitive, you can't really come and think you're going to break even at the level I'm jumping at. If you come and you're going to jump the 4-star Grand Prix every week and think you can win it, yeah, you can break even very easily. But you just have to be realistic with what you come with.
I think that one of the things that kind of highlights the most of the show is the number of start lists that have, the number of entries. It's so, so, so busy. Does it make it harder then? I mean, when you see that there's 150 other riders that you're competing against to go in, I mean, we obviously all go into the ring with the mentality, I'm going to win, I'm going to win. But when you see that many names, do you ever think to yourself, I'll be happy with the placing?
Yeah, sometimes. Again, it depends on the class you're jumping. So if you see all the 5-star riders in the same class as you with amazing horses, it's a great experience to watch, like I said before, but realistically it's going to be quite tough to beat them. It's always possible. So sometimes you go in thinking, yeah, I want to win, but if I come in the top five, I will be very happy. So yeah, it just depends.
You mentioned earlier that now you're based in Holland, and we would like to know who are you training with and how this person is shaping your approach to the sport.
So last year I started working together with Joshua Hutchins. He's also an English rider, and yeah, he's actually made a really good business for himself in the sales part, so I'm trying to learn from him about that. But that's more his main focus, and my main focus is still trying to get my results for young riders. So yeah, I think we can learn a bit from both from that point of view. Yeah.
Is he here with you to help you with all the logistic and everything, because we can imagine that it's super difficult to plan weeks of tour like that?
Yeah, we're here together, and we have got 11 horses here between us. He rides most of them, and I'll ride them in the daytime, and he also rides two from me. So yeah, we work together, and actually we're quite laid back. We don't try and put too much pressure on making a long term plan. I know a lot of people do that, but for us it works quite well to be laid back and see how the horses are, and yeah, we work well together.
And when did you decide to leave home, and was it a difficult decision to make, to leave your family, everyone behind?
Yeah, so it all fell into place, really. I was also training with Holly Smith, the top British rider, and she went to the Olympics for Great Britain in Tokyo. So I trained with her for 4 years. So that really like grounded me in the beginning. And then she got a new job with Podium Farms. So she then had less time to help me. And also I was getting to the stage where I could be a bit more independent anyway. Like I said, I have a really close family, so it was quite a big decision to move abroad. But actually it all happened at the right time and it feels like it was the right thing to do. So I'm really happy with how it's going.
Are they still following you around?
Yeah. Yeah, they came here a few weeks ago to watch for a few days and then they might come back in 2 more weeks to watch a bit more. So I see them often enough.
Is it difficult at such a young age to become independent in the sport in the sense that, I mean, I used to have a trainer, someone looking over you, but at one point, young riders always kind of then have to independentize themselves. And then it's a bit, I don't want to say you do it yourself, but you do a lot more yourself. Is that step hard, like knowing how to walk the course alone, knowing what to do and having to make kind of your own decisions?
Not so much, actually, because even when I was training with Holly for so many years when I was younger as well, she did often leave me to my own devices and taught me to be independent anyway, so it didn't scare me so much. But I think if people have been in that system where you are very dependent on your trainer and their system and you can't cope without them, then yeah, definitely it would be scary. But if it's always been that way a bit, then it feels more normal and I'm quite happy with that, actually.
And now going back to your European gold medal, can you tell us a bit about all the training that went into getting that medal? Was it something you expected? Which horse did you take with you? Tell us a bit about kind of the stress and the pressure of leading up to that moment.
Yeah, again, I was definitely not expecting to come away with an individual medal at all. I was more focused on the team because I thought we had a strong team anyway. So that was my main focus, and that event comes earlier in the week. Training-wise, my horse, she's quite hot-headed, and I only had one horse at that level anyway at the time, which was Jolly Fleur. I would have always picked her, even if I had more horses to take, but anyway. We mostly did flat work and pole work training, which is still mainly what we would do now leading up to any show. She's not a horse that you want to jump all the time, so it worked well, and we went, and when the team event came around, she just kept jumping clear and clear. And we got to the team final. I think I was sat in individual like fourth or something. And I said to my groom at the time, I was like, oh my God, I could actually be in with a chance here with individual. We just have to keep going now. And yeah, I didn't sit in gold medal position right until the last minute. And it was a surprise. I thought I'd won silver and I was already happy when I jumped my last round, thinking I can't believe I've come here to my first European championship winning a silver medal. And then it turned into gold because the last rider to go was unlucky and had another pole down. So it felt so surreal. It didn't sink in for at least a week, I don't think, but we definitely celebrated and made the most of it. And oh, it's just a fantastic memory now.
I can imagine. And it also highlights just how fast things can change in the sport. You can be sitting in the middle and then reach the top within 5 minutes.
That experience is probably one of the best experiences that I'll ever have in my career. Also because it was unexpected. Like, I'm sure some people go to a championship knowing that they have a really good chance and they sort of plan the whole week around how they're going to get to that gold medal stage, which is how you should approach it. But for me, I was definitely not expecting it. So it maybe made it even more the better. Yeah.
Sometimes it's even better to go in with no expectations, just trying to do your best, and then whatever will be, will be.
Yeah, I think sometimes the more pressure you put on yourself, the worse the outcome is. When you go relaxed and you feel confident in what you're doing, I think it always turns out better than you expect.
And so you mentioned that you work in a very laid back team where you don't try to put too much pressure on the horses. So what would you say are your, I guess you focus more on short term goals than long term ones. What would you say are your current short term goals?
Okay, so for the next 6 months, like I said, this is my last year in the Young Rider team. So of course I would like to go to the European Championships with my horse Volney. She's the one which I can rely to jump good in a ranking class every time. So yeah, for my short-term goal for her is to be consistent in all of the ranking classes and to try and create enough good results before the Nations Cup Series and the championships to be in selection, yeah.
And how does it work to be selected? Do you have to do enough ranking classes so you reach a certain rank so you can be considered? Or how does the process usually work? How long before the championships do you know that you've been selected?
Oh, very, very close to championships. They actually pick the team only a few weeks before. You can get an idea for yourself of if you're in with a chance or not. So you make your own plan, and like I'd say from the beginning of this year to July when the championships are, you have to be as consistent as you can, whether that means trying to win for you if you're competitive or just keep jumping clear, because at the end of the day, that's all you have to do when you get there. So you have to do what's best for you and your horse and try and jump as many clear rounds. And then you go to the Nations Cups and have a practice. If you can jump double clear there or 0-4 and just look like, you know, you can be a reliable team member in front of the chef de keeps, then they're more likely to pick you. So they just have to believe in you at the end of the day.
And does it add extra pressure? I mean, I'm guessing it does, but do you feel how it affects you in the ring, the extra pressure of having the chef de keep watching and thinking about all this in the back of your mind?
Yeah, sometimes. I normally get more nervous before the class. So I don't get nervous in general as a rule, but when you're in a team and everybody's, you know, relying on you, yeah, before you start jumping, I then would feel more nervous. But actually, when I'm on the horse and the warm-up goes well and you go in the ring, it's just like any other round. Of course, you end up more disappointed if it goes the wrong way because you've let everybody else down. But those things do happen to everybody. You've just got to try and make it better the next time and bring yourself back up.
We were talking about those riders who go to championship knowing that they have a very good chance of getting a medal, and even those young riders. Is there any young rider that inspire you or the one that you look up to?
You mean young rider as in still under 21 or young rider in the five-star sport?
Under 25.
Right. Of course, you have to look up to the British riders like Harry, Jody, Jack. They're all, you know, where we all want to be. So yeah, you have to watch them and think, that's where I want to get to.
Do you actually have the chance to talk to them, exchange and learn about their experience?
Yeah, if you're at the same show, everybody's actually very nice and down to earth. So you can always have a conversation and talk about it and they would be very happy to do that. So yes.
And how would you say is the spirit in Team Great Britain?
I think it's great, actually. Normally everybody gets on very well and has a good sense of humour. So you all bring each other up and get into the right team spirit. Even when I went to Villamora for the championships, it actually felt like a holiday. We all had so much fun, like going to the water park and the beach and stuff. Like, we all had one horse there, so we were just such good friends, and it was, yeah, more fun than anything.
It's interesting because the championships, you would think that there's more pressure, but at the same time, it could also mean less because you're only there with one horse.
Yeah.
But you have this big goal in front of you. So would you say that you feel like it's more of a holiday, the championship week, or it's even more stressful than coming here with 11 horses?
Yeah, it's definitely stressful. I say it was like a holiday because we did stuff that you would do on holiday, but really we all had our heads screwed on and had the main focus in the right place. But really, once you're finished for the day and you've gone over your round with your trainer or whoever you need to talk to, then yeah, you can go and have fun like any other show as long as you're sensible about it.
And when you're at the championships, do you all have the same, so is the chef de keep your main trainer, or do you each come with your individual ones or speak to your individual ones?
Normally people will bring their own trainer. The chef de keep will walk the course with you and give their opinion, but if they haven't trained you or your horse for the whole year, they're not going to step in at a major event. So they will leave you to it a bit, and if you ask their advice, they'll be there to help you.
What would you say is their role then?
Well, they have to watch you throughout the year and everybody else who's in selection. They have to pick the right team and also keep everybody happy, because they pick five people and in the end four jump on the team and one person is left out. So, well, they have to make sure that they definitely pick the right person. Of course, somebody's always going to be upset, but they normally are nice about it and everybody can understand and still be there for each other. So their job is not easy. They do have to follow the results quite well and not be persuaded by other people who say, oh, I should be on the team because of this or that. They have to make their own opinion.
And does doing horse riding professionally now actually feels like you had imagined it?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely say there's still a long way to go. So I think even though if you told me when I first started with my first pony, I'd be here now, I wouldn't believe you. But now I'm here, I want to get further. So actually, you never feel like you are where you want to be. You just have to keep going and set new goals.
Yeah, you kind of all have to stay in this mentality that there's always a next step, something else to reach for. Once you gain a medal, it's like, okay, great, I have it. But now we have to do this. We have to get to here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, also, that was a couple of years ago now. So for me, I want to do it again or do something different to that, you know. So you always set new goals. It's never enough. And that's what makes it a great sport.
The thing about the sport is that you have these amazing moments, like winning a medal, a Nations Cup, but there are always more setbacks than there are winning moments. So what would you say is the biggest setback or challenge you've had to face, and how did it help you grow as a rider?
Okay, so I've actually been quite lucky that I've always had a couple of horses. So let's say one got injured and you couldn't do the shows you wanted to go to, It never affected me that much. But after the Europeans, Jolly Fleur then went lame a couple of months after, and I only had one other horse at the time. So for the next year, while she was, it was a long recovery process. She's absolutely fine now, but definitely for the next year, I felt like I'd gone really downhill, and I didn't get to go to the Europeans. I only did two Nations Cups, which were quite average because the horse I had wasn't experienced enough to be, you know, even in contention for the Europeans. So it was just an experience. So I definitely felt that year was a bit of a downward spiral compared to the year I had before, because I felt like I'd hit a purple patch, and then you do come down and don't get to do half the stuff that you had planned. But then I got a new horse and my other one came back, and then I had a team of three and four again, and you can go to the shows and get results. So it all does come back. You just have to keep going and believe in what you're doing. But for sure, when you have a bad round or a bad week, or when your horses are lame, it does make a difference to you. It does bring you down, but you just have to try and stay positive.
What would you say is the ideal number of top horses a rider should have to be able to kind of keep its rankings and keep making it to the top? Because we all know that one sadly isn't enough.
Yeah, one definitely isn't enough. You want to say as many as possible, because then you can rest them properly and choose which shows are best for which horse. Obviously, the more you have, the higher chance you have of being able to win every time, because you can make a plan for each horse and really make it work. So I don't know. I just don't think I could give you an exact number. I just think as many as you possibly can.
And is it hard to find the time? Because obviously you want to be able to go to all the ranking classes and get out there as much as possible. But is it hard also to create a plan where you find a balance between competing and giving the horse the rest it needs?
Yeah, definitely. I think at the top sport, for example, like the Globals League, the horses are expected to jump a lot. And then also they're five-star horses and they jump a Nations Cup, which is a lot of jumping for them as well. So I'm sure it's the same from my level, where I don't really have enough horses to do all of that. And for the people who have three good horses and they have to jump them all the time still, so they still have to try and find enough time to rest them. Whereas this year, with my one horse that I'm hoping to do a championship on, I'm going to have to jump her quite a lot to get the results I want to have, but also try and find time in between the shows to rest her, which actually is easier maybe than it sounds at this level, but I think it gets harder the higher up the sport you climb.
So you're talking about resting your horses, but do you have time to rest? Do you have time to have a life outside horses? Do you want to have a life outside horses?
Yeah, I mean, I do have time to do what I want to do as well. Very lucky to have a nice team of people to help with the horses. So if I was to visit my family for 5 days or 7 days or something, the horses would be well looked after and worked properly and things. So you definitely do have time to live your own life. But of course, this is also a lifestyle, and it's something that you choose to do, so I still enjoy it anyway. I don't feel like it's a chore to be around the horses every day. It's lovely.
And so we know that it's very often a bit the same riders at each show. Do you feel that in the end, since you're spending so much time with, I don't want to say the same people, but let's say similar people, do you end up all becoming a family, a group of friends, people that you can count on when you're at shows, when you're, you know, home friends aren't here?
Yeah, definitely. You get to know people better. So if you see them, I don't know, once a month for the whole year, of course you become close, because actually, yeah, when you're so busy going to the shows all the time, you don't really get to see your home friends, and neither do they. So you all just become a bit more of a community, and you can go out for dinner together and socialise, and you all have a common interest, so conversation comes very easily.
Is the conversation always about horses, or do you get a break in between?
No, you get a break as well, but I mean, when you first meet people, at least you know that they are interested in the same thing as you.
It's a nice icebreaker to start the conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, also the special thing about this sport is that you end up competing with the big names in the sport. So you could be like in the same ring as John Whittaker, Steve Garda. What's that like? Do you feel like you can approach them and ask them for advice, or would you kind of stick to your own team or people you would know?
Yeah, normally I would stick to the people I know. It depends, because I think some riders look more approachable than others. Mm. So maybe you could approach somebody like John more easily than Steve, I think, but I could be completely wrong. But that's only maybe because I'm also British. Yeah, it just depends. But I'm sure if you end up having results in a similar class, and you can congratulate each other and then ask them and things like that, you know.
And speaking of John, so he's still riding at his age. He's still doing the Global World Cups. Is that something you aspire to do as well, to be able to stay in the sport, let's say, as long as possible?
Okay, I mean, John's taken it to the extreme, hasn't he? It's fantastic to watch him still at the top level, and he's in contention for another Olympics, which would be amazing for British history if he could do that. Yeah, of course I want to stay in the sport as long as possible. I don't know if I'll still be in it at John's age, but we just have to see.
And so going back, you've mentioned a lot about Jolie Fleur, your top horse. Was it an instant click with her?
Yes, yeah, straight away. I was so young actually when I tried her. I think I was 15, I think. But yeah, she's so blood and just such a good character. It just worked from day one. So I was very pleased.
And do you have any other young prospects that you think could be maybe your future Jolie Fleur?
Not at the minute. We actually did have one, which I really believed was the same as her. She was only 6. And of course, everybody wants a horse like that. And we actually did sell her in October last year. But she's gone to Blumen family in America. So she has every opportunity to be a great horse. But yeah, I really believed in that one. So hopefully I can find another like that.
And what's the feeling? Because I mean, it must be really impressive when you sell a young horse to a name as big as the Blumen family and then seeing the horse develop under them and being able to say like, well, I had a little part to play in that journey.
Yeah, I mean, that's where Josh also comes into play because he's the one who can find the contacts and get in touch with people like that. But yeah, it's going to be great for both of us to watch that horse progress and see what a good reference she will be to a top family like that.
And you mentioned contacts. How important do you think networking is in the sport and being able to know the right people, let's say?
Yeah, so important. I think the more people you can meet and talk to, and obviously then the more times you speak to them, more likely you are to be able to, you know, send videos of horses or find horses for yourself, because then they'll contact you. And the more people you know like that, the better opportunity you have to find the right ones or to sell them. And yeah, it's great.
And is it difficult to be able to go up to these people? Because in the end, you're kind of selling yourself and your product, your horses. Is it difficult kind of that first interaction, or does it come naturally, let's say?
Again, that would be more through Josh, and he's a very good talker, I think. And then I can also meet them through him. So yeah, for me, I kind of have a leg up and it's a bit easier. But I would say it would be difficult, yeah.
I can imagine, but it'll slowly come. I mean, it's all a question of experience. And I mean, the interesting thing about the sport is that you're kind of thrown into the professional world without any prior, I don't want to say experience, but let's say kind of you're not properly formed yet. You kind of learn as you go, I get the feeling. Is it difficult sometimes? Do you ever feel a bit lost, or that you're not doing the right thing, or you're uncertain of yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like when you have a bad day, even if you could have had 3 really good shows and then you go to one show and you have 4 faults every day, or you have 1 terrible round and nobody else thinks it's terrible, but for you it's really bad. And then of course it makes you question what you're doing. And then as soon as you have a good result again, or the horse feels back to normal, then you're like, oh, it's fine. I was just overreacting. But I think it happens to everyone.
And so what's one piece of advice you would give to young riders out there who are trying to make it in the top of the sport?
I think you have to believe in what you're doing. And if you're questioning whether to do it or not, just give it a go and keep going. Keep believing in yourself and your horse, and ask the questions to people who you want to learn from. Try not to be shy.
Okay, now we're going to move on to the second part of the podcast. Let's call it rapid fire questions. So we'll ask you, they're very easy to answer, don't worry, but try and answer as fast and as direct as you can. So don't overthink about it. So dream show of winning?
Aachen Grand Prix.
Lucky charm you always bring with you on shows?
I actually have a tail hair bracelet that I always wear. I'm wearing it now. So yeah, it's from a pony.
Favorite British and international rider?
British rider, probably got to say Holly Smith because I know her so well. International rider, Martin Fuchs or Steve Gerdat, I think.
Night out or night in?
Night in.
If you were not a professional rider, what do you think you would be?
Oh my God, I have no idea. That's not a quick fire question for me.
Train with Ben Mayer or Scott Brush?
Oh, that's really hard. Maybe Ben Mayer, I think.
British team you dream of seeing at Paris this summer?
I think it's most likely to be Harry, Ben, and maybe Harry, Ben. You'd like to say Scott can go as well. It'd be great. John Whittaker. That's all of them, isn't it? Yeah.
It's funny because when you ask this question or you read about it, the first two come so directly to everyone, yeah. Harry and Ben.
Yeah, normally you would always say Scott as well, but at the minute his horsepower is not as amazing as Harry and Ben, so you have to consider that.
It's interesting how things change so fast in the sport, especially in the end. You can be a brilliant rider, but if you don't have the right horses, you just can't make it. It's quite sad, and I guess it must also be a bit demotivating sometimes, no?
I think so. I think when they've been at that level for so long, though, they they know the ups and downs of the sport, and they know they're going to come back with a great team of horses again. You just have to be patient.
So going back to the quick question, favourite song to get you into the competition mood?
Mr. Brightside.
Date someone in the horse world or outside?
In the horse world.
Okay, so now you have to build your dream British team of all time, including yourself, to compete.
Oh, people and or horses?
People.
If I get the opportunity, myself, Ben, Scott, Harry, Jody, Jack, any of the top riders from Britain, I think you'd be so grateful to be on a team with.
What about horses then?
Horses? Well, Explosion, top British horse. Yeah, Explosion, King Edwards. There's so many good ones I can't even choose, but those two come straight to the front.
A specific friend you like to have on shows with you?
Yeah, I've got to say Josh. Yeah, he's also my boyfriend, so I have to choose him.
Particularly challenging or unconventional horse you've ridden?
I had a really good one which Holly rode for me for a while called Billy Sarafina. For me, she was always difficult, but with Holly she had some great results.
Favourite horse on the circuit right now?
King Edward.
Riding King Edward for a season or having Ben Mayer's horsepower for two seasons?
Ben Mayer's horsepower for two seasons.
If you could steal any horse from the under 25 riders, which horse would you steal?
Maybe Arilyn Blue from Harry Charles.
And the thing you like the most in the horse riding world?
It's just the sport of show jumping in general and the people you meet.
Well, thank you so much for your time. It was really interesting to get to know a bit more about you. And we wish you the best of luck for the rest of your tour and the rest of the year.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Beyond the Stables. We hope that you enjoy Ava's dedication and warm personality that makes her stand out in the equestrian community. Make sure to follow her on Instagram to stay updated on her journey. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us and subscribe to stay updated on our latest releases. Your support is important as it helps us continue bringing you inspiring stories from the world of show jumping. See you next week for our next episode.
They jump the last, they're clear, that's a great start. That is an absolutely superb round.